In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's coolest conversations time in Little Steven's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Today, I'll be joined by Ken Fox, the bass player in New York's Fleshtones. They are the only band from that city's CBGB's era that has never had an inactive year since forming back in 1976. The whole time, they've been writing and recording songs, issuing records, and touring worldwide. Their latest album is It's Getting Late and More Songs About Werewolves, out on Yep Rock Records, and it features our recent coolest song in the world, Way of the World, that Ken wrote. We'll hear a portion of that now, followed by my talk with Ken on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Manfred with you once more in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and it's time for our coolest conversations. Joining me for our weekly chat is Ken Fox, bass player in the Fleshtones.
Hey, Manfred.
Hey, let me say here, the Fleshtones, a long-running New York City band, the only band from the CBGB's era never to have had an inactive year, no hiatus, no breakups. Since forming back in 1976, they've always been playing, recording, performing, releasing records, and the latest album is It's Getting Late and More Songs About Werewolves. It's out on Yep Rock Records, and it features this week's coolest song in the world called Way of the World, written by Mr. Ken Fox himself. And Ken, how are you?
I am doing well, Manfred. Thank you very much.
Hey, I want you to remind me, because I think this is right, but you've been in the Fleshtones now since 1990. Is that correct?
Yep. That's almost 35 years now. Where did that time go?
Next year is the 35th year anniversary. So two questions about this. Number one, do you think you should stick with these guys a little bit longer? And number two, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, they haven't actually told me I've made the audition. So I don't really know. It's kind of like a touchy subject. I think I'm in the band.
Well, let me ask this then. Going on 35, any plans for a 35-year anniversary? What's going to happen, or how are we going to celebrate?
Oh, I think it'll probably be the usual thing as the rest of my sort of major landmark anniversaries. Zaremba will look over at me and say, can you mix me a cocktail? And I'll say, yeah, sure.
Well, see how inclusive that is? Doesn't that make you feel like one of the family and not the new guy?
Yeah, but I'm still mixing the drinks.
Well, so what is it like? You're mixing the drinks. So what is it like to be part of an institution?
You know, I never really think about it. I really don't. I'm so proud of being in the band, of course, and proud of what we do. But it's not a concern on a day-to-day basis. It's mostly about, keeping fit, keeping out there, keeping the shows coming, keeping the ideas coming for the next records and hopefully having the next record, because, you know, in this business, it's never taken for granted that there will be a next record. So that's really sort of the focus, is just getting to the next gig, getting to the next record.
Well, let me put it in this perspective then. Are the Fleshtones a cult band or a cult religion?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, that's the answer.
So you are from Canada, you know, and where can you remind us where in Canada are you from originally?
Toronto, Canada. And when I was like 12 years old, I snuck out of the house and I saw the New York Dolls, and that did it. I never wanted to do anything else. And the minute I was sort of old enough to do it, which was 19 years old, I moved to New York to try and, you know, do as we do, make a living playing music. I never made a living, but I joined the Fleshtones.
I want to rewind it for a moment here. So you saw the New York Dolls, so that's pretty cool. And this is epiphany you have. Were you playing any instrument at the time?
No. It was just when I saw the audience and all the clothes and the makeup and the band itself and everything, it was just so inspiring on some bizarre level. I just said, this is excitement. I have to be a part of this somehow. And I actually didn't come up with the idea of playing an instrument until much later in my teenage years. I think my father even suggested it, bizarrely enough. I think he said, Ken, no one's going to give you any money to have the world's biggest record collection. Why don't you learn to play an instrument? And the light went off. And I just said, yeah, I'm going to start to play. So I thought, what do I like? And I like the bass guitar. So I just, off we went.
And so did your parents help you get a bass guitar, or how did you start playing bass?
Oh, yeah. No, my parents got me all set up when I chose an instrument. My father came to all my shows. He was a huge Slade fan and a huge Ramones fan. And we would go to these shows together, not Slade so much because they didn't play North America or at least Canada so much. But I think I went to at least 3 Ramones shows with my dad.
Well, going back to New York Dolls for a second, how old were you when you saw that show?
The New York Dolls show?
Yeah.
I was like 12, I think, 12 or 13, somewhere in there.
I was going to say, your family's definitely into to rock and roll stuff. Your mom, too?
Well, they were kind of in it through me because I would play the records. And my father would come into the room and say, who does that Hey Ho, Let's Go? And I'd say, that's the Ramones. He goes, I like that. Then the next day he'd come in and say, who does that song Rock, Rock, Rockaway Beach? I said, that's also the Ramones. He goes, that's really good. Will you make me a tape for the car? I was like, yeah, of course I will. And then he just said, every one of those songs is great. And I said, I know, Dad.
So it was, how weird, how difficult is it to rebel against that? I mean, you got your parents, your dad saying, this is cool.
Yeah, I never felt the rebellion thing because he was always on my side, you know. And when I moved to New York to be a musician, instead of protesting, he tried to help me out any way I could. He just wanted me to be safe. He didn't want me to get into drugs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But he used it as an excuse to come down to New York and hang out with me. So there wasn't a lot of rebellion on my part.
Do you have any brothers or sisters, siblings?
Yep. I've got one of each. My brother is actually a television director. He's behind a bunch of fairly good shows, like, Schitt's Creek is one of them.
Oh, wow.
He did another one. He did a bunch of Degrassi Highs, and there was a show called N with an E he did. He's done a lot. I can't keep up with it, quite honestly.
You came into, you came down to New York City, went over to New York City, and I know you played with Jason the Scorchers before the Fleshtones.
Yeah.
And I read that you played with Joan Osborne, which I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, Joan was a backup singer in a band that I was in called the Holiday Slides, and that's when I moved to New York. And she and I became friends, and she wanted to front her own band, so I said I would help her out. and we put a band together. And, you know, we just kind of did the material you would expect from someone like Joan. And I mean that in a good way. I just mean, you know, she was trying out covers of some singers she liked, like Janis Joplin and things like that. It was just, you know, bar scene stuff. But then I went off to join the Scorchers, and I hadn't heard from her in years until that hit she had came out, whatever it was. And we don't really bump into each other, but we think fondly of each other. I don't really know Joan anymore.
Well, but Jason and the Scorchers, so what got you out of New York down to Nashville to hook up with those guys?
Well, Warner Hodges, the guitar player, and I guess the other half of the songwriting duo of Jason and Warner, lived in New York. And we had some mutual friends, and we just started hanging out with the idea that I would come to Nashville and audition for the Scorchers because they were going through a chair change in that department. But by the time the auditions came around, Warner just called Jason and said, forget it. You know, this is the guy. Let's book some shows. Let's just get started. So I literally met both Jason and the drummer, Perry Baggs, at our first rehearsal in Nashville. I just shook their hands and I said, well, let's get started. So,
and how did you wind up from that again to the Fleshtones? Because I know they had a period of time when they had several, they were going through bass players like every time.
Oh. Yeah, they kind of knew that none of these bass players were going to stick. There was Fred Smith from television. He played for a while, but he had his other commitments. But, you know, he liked touring and being out when he could. There was Andy Chernoff from the Dictators, also the same thing. The Dictators, obviously, was his main thing, but he loved going out and playing bass at the Fleshtones. And they had a guy named Robert Warren.
Yes, Robert Warren. And he had some connection to Athens, George, and I can't remember what that was.
Yeah, I can't remember what they were either. But, yeah, I was dating a French girl in New York City at the time, and she was friends with Keith's wife. Keith's wife just came running out of the Pyramid Club in New York and
Richard said Keith Strang of the Fleshtones, the guitar player in
Fleshtones. Yeah.
Friends with his wife. Okay.
Yeah. So, she just came running out and they started chatting and said, come on in. Keith's sitting at the bar. Keith and I started chatting and he was a big fan of Jason and the Scorchers and then just said, you know, I'll keep you in mind. I have this other band, the Full Time Men. Maybe you could fit into that. But let's keep in touch. And we did. And then he just called me and said, hey, this isn't about the Full Time Men. It's the Fleshtones. We need somebody like Yesterday, we were going to tour France. Do you think you can pull it off? And I said, yeah, I can do it. And that was 35 years ago.
All right. Wow. So we got a new album. It's Getting Late. And it's more songs about werewolves even. Is this like the 20th studio album?
Yep, more songs. Like the world needs more songs about werewolves. But we didn't get that memo.
It does. In these troubled times, more songs about werewolves always. 20th studio album? Do you have any idea?
We know. No, in fact, when it's brought up around us, we argue about it. So we just don't talk about it anymore. Someone will say something, yeah, but that was an EP. That doesn't count. Okay, fine. Somebody else will say something and they'll say, yeah, but that was a live album. That doesn't count. And we're like, okay, fine. That doesn't count. So then we avoid the subject.
Well, when did you record this one, the new one?
We record this at Red Chuck Studios in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. And that's
Michael Giblin.
That is Michael Giblin, everybody's friend and great recordist, great producer, great musician. So we've done our last two records down there, I believe.
Well, what are some of the reasons you like working with Michael? Because you've done a couple of records with him. What's great about working with Mr. Giblin?
I think it's like any time you find somebody to play with or work with, when you end up finding yourself on the same page and not having to struggle to get your ideas across and vice versa and everything falls into place, when the dust clears, you look around and say, well, that was a pleasant experience and let's do that again sometime. So that's really the basis of that. It's been working out well and it's convenient. He's 3 hours from New York City. We can go down there, stay at his house. So it's all just really a good experience. So,
and I guess we should also point out that Michael plays in the Split Squad with Keith Strang, the guitar player. Yeah.
Yep. So he is really, really part of the family. And so, yeah, so more songs about werewolves. That's where we're at right now.
Well, I want us to focus on the coolest song of the world this week. It's Way of the World. It's a song that you wrote. Does this something that just fell out of your head all at once, or is it a tune that took some sort of sculpting?
No, it was pretty easy. I found myself saying that title to my friends and family whom I was trying to just talk off ledges here and there, just with troubled times that we're living in. And I would say to them, it's just kind of the way of the world. We just sort of have to deal with it and find ways to deal with it and continue to be, yeah, good, loving people. So the way of the world was a catchphrase that I just found myself saying, and I made a mental note. And then the rest of it really were just, yeah, it kind of flew out. The one line that is of interest, or at least to me, is the let me pull your coat to the reel, which I took from a Donald Goines novel. I don't know if you know Donald Goines, but he was a Harlem. He was a Harlem writer. He was actually murdered in Harlem around 1971, but he has a great series of books. Dope Fiend is one, Pimp is another, Iceberg Slim. He's got a great series of sort of Harlem-centric noir novels.
Yeah.
And one of his characters was prone to saying that about, you know, let me tug your sleeve to this reality. It's like, yeah, let me pull your coat to the reel. So that made it in there. I always liked that line. But, yep, and then as far as song, my songs are pretty simple. Doesn't have a bridge, doesn't have, you know, much going on. It's just a couple of verses and get out of there, you know, Ramon style.
Right. You don't want to clutter things up.
Nope. Get in, say what you got to say, get out.
Absolutely. Well, you're married to Vibeka Salgestad.
Mm-hmm. Very good pronunciation. So,
well, you know, I've been schooled by the master, and we play her solo recordings here in the Underground Garage.
Yeah,
her solo stuff, along with stuff that she's done with like the Yum Yums.
Mm-hmm.
My liner notes say that she contributed piano to Way of the World. Is that correct? Does she play piano on there?
Yeah, she that's her piano and her voice on Way of the World, and she's on. Just about every Fleshtone record, I think, in one way or the other. The previous record, which is the name escapes me, Face of the Screaming Werewolf, I had a contribution on that called Waiting on a Girl, and she's singing and playing piano on that as well. I got a message through your DJ cohort, Peter Zaremba, and my singer from Michael Desbarres, who had asked Peter to pass on to me that he had enjoyed Waiting on a Girl very much, which I always appreciated. When somebody makes an effort. Yeah, when someone makes an effort, Philip, you know that they appreciate what you do and they don't know you. I've always appreciated that.
Well, you and Vibeka, do you ever write songs together?
No, but we have a couple of things that are in their very nascent stages that I think will become songs. We now have a band together and we've been out playing and doing fairly well. We've also been down to Michael Giblin's Red Chuck recording studios and recorded two tracks down there. So we'll see if we can find a home for them, or maybe they are the building blocks to a record in the future. But yep, we're starting back up. She's got the bug again.
Well, let me ask you. You mentioned you guys having a band together. Is there a name for the group?
Yeah, right now we're just calling it Vibeka Salgestad. We're just going under her name because in Norway, before she moved here with me, you know, she had three solo albums. She had maybe two albums with the Yum Yums. She had a band called Weld that did very well, which she started out her musical career with, not when she was a teenager and still in school. So all of those things can be drawn upon in one way or another. So we're out. We'll be playing a show on the 16th and 17th of November. I think we're with Muck and the Myers in Somerville for the Rumbar Thanksgiving spectacular. And then, so we're out. We're doing it.
You're doing it. And I know that the Fleshtones played recently in the Midwest, but you've also got a tour of the UK coming up, and it's running, I believe, from December the 3rd to the 19th.
Yeah.
And now, are all these shows with the Damned?
All of them are with the Damned, and I believe Doc and the Medics, or the Doc and the Medics. I forget how they...
All right, Doc and the Medics.
Yeah.
Well, how did you guys wind up touring with the Damned over there?
We were asked, actually. Their management had approached us. I think they had seen us on one of our previous UK tours and sort of put us in the back of their mind as something that might work for the future. And just contacted us and asked if we'd be interested. And, of course, we were. I'd love to see the Damned every night.
So there wasn't any connection back in the day, though?
No, I don't believe there was any connection. And, in fact, I'm sure of it because the subject came up. I don't think any of the guys have met any of the Damned before.
Wow. Well, I know that you guys play France and Spain fairly regularly. How often do you play the UK?
Not that often. The UK has always been a little sticky for us. We play London, and sometimes we'll get out as far afield as maybe Leeds or Manchester, things like that. But, London, or the UK rather, hasn't been a stronghold for us, unlike Spain, France, which has always, and Italy, has always been very good to us. So this will be interesting to see what it's like when we're out supporting another band that does well, whether this translates into something for us in the future.
Well, Ken, we can take a listen to another track off of the new album, off of It's Getting Late, and more songs about werewolves. And another, it's a werewolf song, in fact. You said
in
you don't mind.
In fact,
right.
It's a werewolf.
It's credited to your lead singer and my co-worker, fellow disc jockey, Peter Zaremba, along with guitarist Keith Strang. We've mentioned his name a couple of times as we've been chatting. Let me ask you this. So you live where now? In upstate New York somewhere?
I live basically, in a New York City-centric world. It's only upstate New York City. It's actually quite downstate New York State. The town is called Beacon, New York. It's
Beacon.
About an hour and a half. Yeah, about an hour and a half north of New York City.
And is that a rural area or not?
No, it's an actual city, but it is kind of any town USA looking. It has a main street, and that's it. But it's a good main street.
Yeah. There's no worry about the werewolves on the prowl out there in Beacon.
Well, yes and no. We bought a house right opposite a graveyard, so things do get a little hairy at nights, but...
So you and Vibeke, you have a werewolf action plan?
Yeah. Cower. That's it.
Excellent advice, you know. What I like to do whenever I'm in a sticky wicket, you know, and with someone, I always suggest that they stay there while I go get help, you know?
Yeah, right. I think that comes just before Cower.
Well, Ken, thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was good to hear your voice, Manfred.
Well, we're going to give a listen now to You Said You Don't Mind. It's the Fleshtones off their new album, It's Getting Late, and more songs about werewolves in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Something I said.
was the Fleshtones and Little Steven's Underground Garage with some of their song You Said You Didn't Mind. It's off their latest album, It's Getting Late, and more songs about werewolves available from Yep Rock Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's bass player, Ken Fox, for speaking with me today on our Coolies Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing and Kurt Baker for editing our podcast. The Gorgor Girls are longtime favorites of ours here in the Underground Garage, and their third album, Get the Gore, was recently reissued by Bloodshot Records as part of their Barrel Select series. My guest to tell us all about the release is the band's front woman, Amy Gore. She's my guest next time around on our Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.